Last week, if you weren't with us, we were in the book of Ruth. We read Ruth chapter 1. If you weren't with us last week, the story begins with Naomi and her husband Elimelech, who are made refugees from their home in Bethlehem. In Judah, there is no bread left in the house of bread that is Bethlehem, and so they are forced to leave their country and go to Moab, which is a forbidden country for Israelites, but they go and live among this foreign people, and soon their sons marry Moabite women, and Elimelech dies, and soon their sons also pass away, and Naomi is left in this desolate place where she has lost her husband, she's lost her children, she has lost her identity, she's lost her homeland, she's lost all kinds of things, and she has come back to Judah with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who has pledged her fidelity to her, and they have come back. And when we left Naomi, she was in this dark and desolate place where she had said, "No more can you call me Naomi, call me Mara. My name needs to be changed because of all the bitterness that I have known in my life and how bitterly God has dealt with me." And so we pick up their story now in chapter 2. "Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I may find favor.' She said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' They answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'To whom does this young woman belong?' The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean among the standing sheaves and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles and leave them for her to glean and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over, so she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close by my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, otherwise you might be bothered in another field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit in this place, that it would surround your word, that it would surround this reading, that it would surround our hearing, our reflecting, our questioning, our wondering about where we might find you in our lives. God, in all things, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that it would help to shape and form us as disciples of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. What's the line between coincidence and the movement of God? What is a coincidence and what is God at work in our lives? If things happen to line up at just the right way, at precisely the right time, is that something that you assign God credit for? I have to admit to you that I am a skeptic when it comes to coincidences and whether or not they are divinely ordered. Maybe skeptic isn't the right word. I guess I just am not certain to what degree God is actively at work in the minutiae and mundane elements of the lives of 7.5 billion people at any given moment, such that we might find the right parking space, for example. Now, there are moments when I feel that a person in my path on any given day is God present to me in a given moment, or that I've been brought to a particular place at a particular time for a reason by God, like I think it was God who brought me to Covenant almost 4 years ago. But there's also a nagging sense that maybe this is a little too self-important. Like, how deep in the weeds of our lives is God really apt to get? Is everything that is important to us also important to God? I have this particular feeling when, you know, confetti comes down on an athlete and they give all credit to God for the championship that he or she just won because God is apparently heavily invested in men in pads crashing into each other. Or, you know, a performer on the stage is holding an Oscar or a Grammy, and they're dressed in an outfit that costs more than some people will make in a year, and they're clutching the statue that a bunch of other stuffy people in a room voted on, and they're sure that God has given them all of this. I don't know if God really works that way, but we do pray for our children, right, as they enter into a new school year, and we believe that God will be attentive to them, that God will remember and guard their vulnerability and their innocence and their hearts and their minds as they grow with ideas and dreams and hopes for the future. When we see them gathered at the front here, we believe that praying for them brings them to the forefront of God's heart and mind in some way. And every week, as we just did, we name names and we name situations out loud of people that we love or that we know or our neighbors, and we write them down on a list, and then we circulate that list and on Sundays and during the week. And we believe that us calling them out loud calls them to God's mind in a way that matters in some way or another, or else why would we do it? We sing, "His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me," believing that what is in front of us on any given day is not just ours to experience or to determine or to figure out, but it's also that God is at work in our lives in some way in the circumstances. But this is the question, right? Like, how is it that God is present? How is it that God is at work in the stuff that happens to us and for us and with us and because of us? Where is God in the successes of my life, in my accomplishments? Where is God in the failures of my life? Where is God in the joy of my life? Where is God in the suffering of my life? Last week when we left Naomi, she was sure that God had altogether abandoned her. Her life had been so full of grief and loss that she changed her name. Her experiences of pain made her into a different person. I'm not the same person I was before I went through all of this. She lost her home, she lost her husband, she lost both of her children, and now in chapter 2, the tide is starting to turn. Ruth's gone out to glean from the field. She's going behind the harvesters, just catching what is left over. And she's managed to come back with a substantial amount of barley. She was able to eat and be filled herself to bring leftovers home. And she's met Boaz, who is an important figure in the community. He is a pillar in the community. In fact, his name is on one of the pillars of the temple. And he's a relative of Naomi's late husband's family. And the scripture says that it was as it happened that she came to Boaz's field. It just so happened that she came to Boaz's field. That of all the fields surrounding Bethlehem, of all the people growing barley, it just so happened to be a relative of her late father-in-law. And it just so happened to be someone who would guard and protect her. It just so happened it would be someone who would share out of his abundance. Was it by chance that she came to the field of a benevolent and generous landowner who protected her, who has a familial connection? Was it a coincidence that she came to the field of one who knew her story, who says to her, I know who you are. I know the story of your fidelity to Naomi, and bless her. He says, may the Lord reward you for what you have done. May you have a full reward for the Lord, from the Lord, for the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Is that a coincidence, or is God at work in it in some way? Boaz says, you have come under God's wings. And Naomi says, it's not a coincidence. She says, this is the same one who was sure that God had abandoned her. God has dealt with me bitterly, she said. God has left me alone in my suffering. It is Naomi who says, in the midst of this coincidence, blessed be the Lord. That's God, she says. Blessed be the Lord whose hesed, whose loving kindness has not forgotten the living or the dead. It's Naomi who looks on the stuff that is happening now, the stuff that's happening to her, the stuff that's happening to Ruth, and said, no, there's God in the midst of this. And it's as if this one instance has reminded her, has helped her to remember the true nature of who God is. It's all this other stuff that she went through that she's characterized as being somehow God's fault or God's problem. God has dealt with me bitterly. I've gone through all this grief. I've gone through this famine. I've gone through all this loss. But when she sees the loving kindness of God at work, God's hesed, she remembers who God is. She talks about this hesed. This runs throughout the Hebrew Bible. It's all over the Hebrew Bible. It's in the Psalms. We translate it as loving kindness, but it's one of those words that we don't have really English for it. Hesed carries the weight of love and fidelity of God for God's people. It's the name, for example, the retreat that a handful of folks here have been involved with and grown to love and be passionate about. That's a weekend of learning and singing and worshiping and storytelling and fellowshipping between regularly abled and differently abled adults. Hesed, this weekend is called. And Melanie or Lisa or Carol or Vicky or Anna or those of you who have come to know God's Hesed through the Hesed retreat, you know, they can tell you perhaps better than me why that name is so fitting. But my experience of it is the sense of love and acceptance and cooperation and joy that are present among those gathered manifest something of God's hesed. It is God present. And it's that feeling you get. And you can call that feeling by a lot of names. But when that feeling, when it is a great gift of grace to your spirit, we learn, as Naomi teaches us, to understand that this is God's calling card. This is when you know God is present. When you experience the giftedness of that grace. You may call it love, you may call it charity, you may call it mercy, you may call it forgiveness, you may call it family, you may call it work, you may call it all kinds of things, but in the Hebrew Bible it's called God's hesed. And so I guess if you're like Naomi and you're like the rest of us and you're going to wonder where God is in the difficult moments, something bad happens and you say, where is God in this? Where are you now, God? Then when, as it happens, that you receive a break that turns the tide in your life, then you might also learn to call that God's too. God's hesed. And so I wonder if this is really what we mean when we talk about God blessing us. When we feel, in moments that are really, in the grand scheme of things, pretty frivolous, right? Like not that important, small, We're one of 7.5 billion. Something that good that happens to us in our lives is small. But when we feel that that small thing is important, and we are sure that God is present to us, I wonder if what we mean is that God is most present to us in the graces of our lives that we receive. In the unexpected, unmerited moments that seem to come when we really need them. When we're down at the bottom of the barrel, when we're down and sick and tired of being sick and tired, when we're down and we're frustrated, when we're down and tired of meeting dead ends, when something unexpected and unmerited comes to us, that grace is where we meet God most fully. And I wonder if it's not so much that God causes these things, like God is a puppet master, right? Acting out a play and pulling all the strings and helping us to run into the right people at the right time. I don't know if it's so much that, so much it is that this is just how God shows up to us. Not that God is detached from the circumstances of our lives, but that God is in the circumstances of our lives. Not that God caused you to have the feeling of being loved, but that God is the feeling of being loved. Do you understand what I mean? Not that God caused you to be in a place that is bringing you joy and satisfaction, but that God is joy and satisfaction. See, God's ordinary like that. God is incarnational. That's the word, the big word they teach you in seminary. This is among the many gifts of Jesus to us, to be able to look on entirely human beings, right? To be able to look at entirely ordinary meals, to be able to see encounters along the common places of life, at the roadside, in the town square, along by the well, the common places of life, and believe that it's entirely possible for us to meet God there. So I wonder if this is what an athlete or an actress or whatever really means to say. Not that God caused this to happen, but the joy and the thanksgiving and the giftedness that I feel right now feels like God's presence. So it's no coincidence to me that it's Naomi who invokes God's name. It's Naomi who points out, this is God. Because it's usually those who have perceived God's absence in their lives who are most equipped to remind us of God's presence when it's there. So this is why, in our shared life together, why it's so important for there to be diversity in our communities. Because a lot of us have learned to call on God when things are tough, but then when things are going well, we're pretty proud of our own work ethic, of our own talent, of our own resources, of all the ways that we put ourselves in positions to succeed. And you need somebody who can come along and say, no. It wasn't just as it happened. It wasn't just as you happened. No, there's God in this. And that feeling that you have right now, that feeling of connectedness or accomplishment or unconditional love. We need those people like Naomi who can come along and remind us of what it means to experience the fullness of God's presence. So each and every day we go out from this place and stuff happens to us. Stuff happens to us, some stuff happens for us, and some of it feels like death. And some of it feels as if there is something happening beyond our control. Something that is gifting us with a moment of clarity, a sense of belonging, a feeling of being loved when we felt abandoned, a sense of being whole when we felt broken. When we feel that giftedness, that bit of grace, that is God. Not that God pulled the strings to make it happen, but that God is it happening in that moment. This is the Christ we know. The Christ who shows up to us in the most ordinary ways. May we be able and willing to see that God and work and say, no. It wasn't just as it happened. Amen.